Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. Today is still the 12th of February, and Tim and I are now doing the second part of our outfield preview. Timmy, I'd like to say I know who won the Super Bowl, but I have no idea.
Yes, and even if you did know, I wouldn't care. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bad attitude, I know. What can I say? I'm just not a football guy anymore.
Yeah, I think we're going to go over, and there's a little bar next door to us called the Homestead, and we're going to go and eat some wings and watch the first quarter of the game and then come back. So that's our plan. So we still got 2 hours before it starts. So I think we're good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're now at the pre-game show instead of the pre-game show? Something like that?
Something like that. It's kind of nuts. Timmy, we've been talking outfielders, and we've done our top 30, I believe, is where we left off. So let's see what Tim's got from 31 to 40. At number 31, he's got Jake McCarthy, one of his guys, Christian Yelich at 32, Giancarlo Stanton, Chris Bryant, Andrew Vaughn, Hunter Renfro, Harrison Bader, Mitch Haniger, Michael Conforto, Brandon Nemo. And again, fine players in there, Timmy, but it's starting to take a big drop down from where we were just 5 or 10 picks before.
Yes, and like the Carpenters, we've only just begun.
Yeah, it gets even lighter. You do like Jake McCarthy, though.
Yeah, I like him, not as much as the NFBC folk, but, you know, hey, how can you argue with 8 home runs, 23 stolen bases, and a pinch more than half a season? I think there could be a 15-30 season there. What amazed me when I looked at McCarthy is he's a big kid. He really is. He's a lot bigger than I anticipated him being. But, man, he's got good wheels, and I feel, you know, there's definitely risk. But when you start looking as a 3-4 type outfielder, the upside warrants it.
I always liked him going through the minor leagues. I should have liked him more because I do not have him rostered in any dynasty league. So he looks like he's a player, Tim. Good ranking of him there. Christian Yelich. I don't understand what's happened to Christian Yelich, Timmy. He's hitting all the balls on the ground. I was rolling over on everything. It was just a guy that was a huge power guy. Now the power's just disappeared.
Well, yeah. At one point in time, if I'm not mistaken, Yelich had back-to-back, I'm going to guess here, 35 and 40 home run seasons. I think his first couple seasons in Milwaukee. That's just a guess. Now that I'm on his page, 36 and 44 home runs in 2018, 2019, back to back. 2020 at 12 and 200. And then we saw 9 and 14. He's not the same player he once was. There's no doubt about it.
It just doesn't make any sense unless his back is really, really problematic now.
Well, and again, he's had back issues, a lot of them, especially when he was in Miami. And you know, you look at, you know, 300 batting average, 298, 282, 326, 329, 205, 248, 252 in the past 3 years. He's stole 19 bases last year. He's going to score, or should score, close to 100 runs. Came up one shy last year. But again, if he could get the power numbers back into 20-plus, he'd move up pretty quick on this list.
I agree. You know, it's funny. If we could go back and read my write-ups when he was coming up through the minor leagues, and I loved to swing. Everybody loved to swing. Thought this guy would be a hitter. There was good speed. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought that he was going to be a 44 home run guy. Nobody thought that. So I don't know. Is that just the anomaly? Were those the outliers? And he's turning back more into the 15 to 20 home run guy that we thought he was going to be? Or he really is a big power guy, just as hurt, and can't, you know, just basically can't lift the ball up anymore? Because you can see it. The launch angle is down. There's definitely a lot more ground ball. So something fundamentally has changed.
Yeah, it has. And will we know the answer to that question? Probably not.
Probably not. Giancarlo Stanton, Timmy, I mean, what do you do there? I mean, over under 400 at bats this year?
I'll go with a wash.
Yeah, right,
somewhere
right
around
there.
400.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're in the right area. But he can hit 40 home runs in those 400 at bats.
Yeah.
And I think knowing that, okay, I think you have to discount Stanton, obviously, because of the health concerns, batting average, whatever. But at the same point in time, I don't think he just walk away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can still hit you, you know, see Byron Buxton. Okay, yeah, he hit for a ton of power.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a replacement player that plays adequately, it works.
I think I agree, Timmy. I've just done with messing with Giancarlo Stanton. I do not trust him. I'm afraid that I will draft him and get 20 games out of him. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, and I don't think that would be the case, but one can't rule it out.
Well, I think you, if I recall, you drafted him as your first or second pick couple years ago, and he played in about 20 games.
Yeah, my wrists have healed since then.
Yeah, I mean, you were not a happy camper, if I recall, so.
Yeah, that is more than fair. I did look at him this year in my XFL auction in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for it was he was in the low 20s, mm-hmm. and I need power. So I just can't throw the fact away that he could be a 30 home run bat.
Did you get
very
him?
Very easily at that. Yeah, I got him for 23.
Okay. The next guy, Chris Bryant, Timmy, think, I don't know. I'm hoping. I've had plantar fasciitis, and I was able to get it solved, and I've not had any more issues there, but it was a painful process to go through. I would believe, and that was 20 years ago, I would believe the treatment has not gotten a lot better, and particularly the treatment that Chris Bryant would get is way better than I have to believe that they can fix this with him, and if so, I refuse to believe he's the 34th outfielder off the board.
Yeah, I know. I had to give up running because of it.
Did you really?
No.
See, I believed you, Tim.
Well, I said it in my sincere voice.
You okay? Did. You said it in your sincere. Yeah. So
I was a salesman for years, Rich. Yeah. It's a gift. But no, if you look back to 2021, okay, and you know, Bryant's been dealing with injuries off and on. Since what, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, you know, 25 home runs, 73 RBIs. Yeah, stole 10 bases and hit for a 350 OBP. Well, moving to Coors, you would think that he could produce to that level moving forward.
Mm. Yeah,
and you know,
it's Coors Field, Tim. It's Coors Field.
Yeah, exactly. So. I think it's one of those know your parameter situations, mm-hmm. and you don't want to overpay for the dream that he explodes in Coors Field, but you don't want to ignore him as well.
Yeah, it's a guy that I'd like to target. I've now done two drafts. Did I get him in the Gladiator League? I might have.
Yeah,
it's a guy that I've sure. wanted to target later, and mm-hmm. I'd be pretty happy if I got him.
Well, right now you're looking at, what, ninth round, so that's a nice place to target him, I think.
I just think if you get caught out, like Matt, the guy we were talking about before, might be a kid that he targets because there should be batting average there. And
yep.
I think if he comes back, it might be an interesting little bounce back dude that you can roster. Andrew Vaughn, over under 20 home runs this year.
Over.
Really? You said that confidently.
Yeah.
You think there's more than that?
I think there very well could be. His career didn't exactly get off the ground the way we were anticipating, but part of the reason for that is no longer with the White Sox. You know, when I look at the numbers last year, I think there's more in the OBP as well. He's a young player, and I think sometimes we forget, you know, He's only 24 years old,
uh-huh.
turning 25. You know, last year in basically 510. We saw 17 home runs, 76 RBIs. I think 23 to 25 home runs is very attainable by Andrew Vaughn. I think we could also look at the OBP. I think we could look at the walks possibly. Moving upwards a little bit. He was known for his
on base percentage for sure. Yep.
Yeah, 321 last year is.
I just never thought he'd have a lot of pop. So but you know, we'll see. Yeah, it could be 20-ish type. I don't see a 30 home run guy there.
No, I don't either. But I think there's room for growth over the 17 he had last year.
Mm-hmm. Harrison Bader, Tim, looked pretty good when he played for New York last year.
Yeah, he didn't play enough. But, yeah, I think what you're looking at there is, you know, relatively cheap speed. If you're looking for a boost in those numbers, once you get into the early teen rounds, I sort of like Harrison Bader as a target.
Then at number 39, you got Michael Conforto. Tim, you're 15 higher. You got him at 39. His ADP is 234 going in the 16th round. He is the 54th outfielder off the board. So you like yourself some Michael Conforto, which you've always liked Michael Conforto.
Yeah, I have. But, you know, when I start to look, okay, and maybe I'll play the game with you, okay? Mm-hmm. Who do you like better? Oscar Gonzalez or Michael Conforto?
I like Michael Conforto better.
Ian Happ.
Michael Conforto.
Yoshida.
Oh, got to be Yoshida. I don't know. Yeah. I'm probably
okay,
Michael
so,
Conforto.
So we went with the picks from 41 to through to 43. So there's already, you know, you've already said that you sort of like Conforto where he's sitting. The NFBC folks don't. I get it. He didn't play last year. But when he has played, three times he's bested 25 home runs. I think if he plays the full year, I think you're looking at a very solid number 3-4 type outfielder.
Yeah,
he's going in the 16th round. I'm prepared to move him up.
Look, it's all going to – if he's healthy, yeah, he's definitely a value down there. The question is, I mean, you said he dealt with contract problems. No, he dealt with shoulder problems. Nobody wanted to sign him because he was had a bum shoulder. And then, I guess Boris held out for a long-term deal and nobody was willing to do it. But
right.
And then for some reason, he just didn't sign anywhere, which meant he was too hurt to play.
Yeah, and now he's back. He's going to have a spot in San Francisco in the order, probably fifth. Not a bad spot. And when you look at the Giants 1-4, it's not bad. You know, Thyro Estrada, Mike Yastrzemski, Mitch Haniger, Jock Peterson, and then Conforto. There's some RBI opportunities in there. I think
yeah, not bad. It's not good either. That's not a great lineup.
No, it's not great, but I think there's still going to be RBI opportunities there. Yeah. I could see a 25-80 season.
Okay. And then Brandon Nimmo, I think great for an on-base percentage league. I've had him in batting average leagues. I mean, it's not great.
No, you know, with his on-base skills, right?
Yep.
Okay, and the lineup behind him in New York, you would think he'd be a lock for 100 runs scored, right?
If he stays healthy, which has never been something he's been very good at.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, that's what we're looking at when we get to number 40.
Yep. I've had him in an NFBC league in the past, and there's a lot of zeros in a batting average league, Timmy. It's this, you know, he walks a ton, he scores some runs, but there's nothing else. Just not a lot of goodness anywhere else.
Low double digit power.
Yeah. It's a yawn. Let's take a break, get back, and really pick up the pace here because we're 15 minutes in.
We only have one.
All right. We're at number 41, Oscar Gonzalez, Ian Happ, Masataki Yoshida, Cody Bell. Yeah, that's right. And Jock Peterson, Taylor Ward, Jeff McNeil, Riley Green, Seth Brown, and your buddy Lars Nootbaar. I mean, Yoshida, Timmy, you love him more where he's going than the FBC. I know you love him. We'll see. It sounds like a doubles hitter with good batting average, on base skills, not a ton of power. That's what I'm understanding.
And I think you're understanding perfectly correct. But do I want him over Brian De La Cruz? Yeah. And Randall Grichuk? Yeah.
I think you want him over a lot of guys. I think you want him over Cody Bellinger. I think you want him over Taylor Ward. I don't know about Taylor Ward. I'm with you. You knocked him down here. That was a really good six to 8 weeks to start the season. It wasn't great how he ended the season.
Well, no, and it's not like we're looking at a spring chicken here, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at a player who's going to be turning. He's playing in his age 30 season.
Yeah.
Like, he struck out 120 times. Yeah, the OBP was fine. But, you know, it was a great little run. I just don't believe that great little run is anything more than that. He could prove me wrong. I hope he does. But right now, I'm not in on Taylor Ward.
I'm not in on him either. I was in on him when he was going through his hot streak. I know people were trying to sell high on him, which I applaud them, but I was not biting. Let's go to Ian Happ. I was a little disappointed that you had him discount at 5 from where he is going. This kid who had 271, 342, he slugged to 440 with 17 home runs, 9 stolen bases. It looked like he started to finally come into his own last season.
Yeah, it was a really good year. It really was. And 2021 was a good season with 25 home runs. Prior to that, not so good. If you're looking at a batting average, he struck out 156 times 2 years ago. He struck out 149 times last year.
Yeah, but
give him a bump in OBP leagues. But what are we looking at? 20 home runs, 70 RBIs, and high single digit stolen bases.
That's not horrible.
Well, it's not horrible, but he got his career high in runs scored last year with 72. Like it's not horrible, but is there anything else there? I don't think so. I think he's an average everyday player.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
And at 42, I can't put him ahead of Oscar Gonzalez, who I think has upside potential.
Yeah, I guess I'll buy that. I will definitely buy that. So I just think, yeah, okay. Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. I just like Ian Happ a little bit more. I think there's more upside. I think that could be back to the 25 home runs. And it looked like he cut down on his strikeout rate last year, and obviously he's going to walk a lot. So, and the team is better, more RBI opportunities. We'll see. So,
yeah, if he finished up 3 or 4 slots, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't think he's going to finish ahead of Hunter Renfrow and Andrew Vaughn and Chris Bryant and Stanton, and they're all in the mid 30s range, right?
I think he'll finish ahead of Hunter Renfrow.
Okay.
Brandon Nemo, and I'm gonna crush your day. Maybe we'll do a steak and liquor bet. I think he has a better season than Oscar Gonzalez.
Entirely possible.
No, you're not going to take that. Okay, I thought I'd have it there.
I'll take the bet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fun. Fun. You got Oscar Gonzalez. I got Ian Happ. Who's got? Yeah. I don't know, how do we figure this out?
We'll go end of year HQ dollar value. So is that nice and simple?
I don't subscribe to HQ anymore. How about end of year CBS outfield rankings?
Sure, that'll work.
Okay,
yeah,
that'll work. Cody Bellinger, Tim.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you? I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. How many bad seasons in a row now have we seen from Cody Bellinger?
I believe 2.
I'm just calling his name up right now because I was going to guess at 3, but
could 2020 might not. I don't remember much about the 2020 season. Yeah.
2020 was okay. 12 homers, 30 RBIs, 239 batting average, though. Yeah, it started in 2020. after the 305 from the year before. And then we saw a 165 average and a 210 average to go with 10 and 19 homers. You know, if you told me right now that Cody Bellinger is going to hit 30 home runs, drive in 90, and bat 270, I'd have a hard time believing it after.
I would have a hard time as well.
In the past 3 years. At the same point in time, if he falls far enough, you can't ignore that type of potential.
So he won't
be a target of mine.
Not a target of mine. So I know a lot of people are saying, well, he's been hurt. Not buying it, Timmy. The Astros figured him out in that World Series, and they threw him up in the zone. He couldn't catch up to it, and everybody just followed suit. And it was well known, and you can see it in the data. So until he can start to cover the upper part of the zone, I think he's going to be exploited, and that's what I think the problem is. Now, maybe it's his back, because he can't get up to the upper. Maybe that's the problem. So if he gets healthy, maybe. Can the Cubs figure it out in the colder weather? Maybe. I don't know. I don't like the setup. It's a no for me.
Yeah, how many maybes are you allowed on any
one player? Exactly, exactly.
I think you maxed out there, Rich.
Jock Peterson, I think, will hit you 30 home runs. He's next in 60 to 70 RBIs because he's a platoon guy, but not a horrible number four outfielder.
No. Again, power is real. You'll see it.
Riley Green, Tim. You're pretty much right where the NFBC is, indecisive in terms of if this is somebody who we all missed on coming up through the minor leagues, or did he just had a rough debut and he just wasn't quite ready?
Did anybody have a good year in Detroit last year?
Nobody did.
No, the big three starting pitchers were all on the IL. Erod was missing in action. Torkelson, who had was advertised with a great hit tool, didn't. Javi Baez had the worst
awful
season. Detroit was just a... I'm giving the whole team a mulligan on last year.
Yeah.
Okay, it was just brutal. And I think, to some extent, Riley Green got caught up in all that ugliness. And I'm not prepared. Put it this way, I've got Riley Green in two dynasty leagues. Don't make me an offer on him. Just don't.
I'm riding
the storm out on that one.
Good REO Speedwagon song, by the way.
Yes, that was the reference. Well picked up. I like it.
Yeah, that was a big. I thought they were underrated, Timmy. I like particularly some of the early REO Speedwagon. Oh, yes. I really, really liked.
Gary Richrath was a brilliant guitarist.
I thought
very, very talented.
Very, very good. I agree with you. I also heard. Tarek Skubal, Tim, looks like he's throwing off a flat ground, might move to a mound by spring training. So maybe we see him by midseason.
Yeah, I think that's what the target was midseason. So, again, in deeper 15-team leagues, 20-team leagues, draft him, stash him on. You know, it doesn't work in the NFBC because there's no IL slots, but if you got an IL slot you can use, I'll draft him.
Lars Nootbaar at 50, Timmy. It's been so long. I know we obviously got the Jordan Walker situation out there. Is there somebody else that's challenging for playing time that they've recently acquired?
Not that I'm aware of, but we'll take a look at the Cardinals and we'll take a look.
I thought they acquired somebody that maybe gave some pause.
Well, we will find out right smartly here. I hate advertisements. Okay.
While you're looking that up, we'll take a quick little break, get back, and continue on as Tim looks it up. His super fast computer. Tell us what's happening in St. Louis in the outfield, Timmy.
Well, they did sign Oscar Mercado with an NRI.
Wow. Poor horse. Yeah. Poor Oscar Mercado.
Blast from the past. Right now, when you look at the cards, it's Nootbaar's penciled in for right field. with Gorman and Gorman doesn't come into play, but Burleson as the reserve outfielder and Jordan Walker lurking in the weeds. So it looks like Nucor's got the job.
As long as he hits, I think he gets a chance to play for most of the season. So
yeah, I think so as well. And it's he had a good year last year: 14 homers, 40 mm-hmm. RBI, 70 OPS. He's 25 years old. I sort of like Nucor moving forward.
51. You got Randall Grichek, Austin Meadows, Bryant De La Cruz, Andrew Benintendi, followed by Alex Verdugo, Joey Meneses, Chris Morel, Jorge Soler. At 59, Tim's guy, Lane Thomas. And at number 60, Gavin Lux. You like Austin Meadows and Randall Grichek a little bit more. They're going maybe a couple of rounds higher in your draft queue than they are with the NFBC.
Well, when I look at Meadows, okay, this is going to be, for me at least, a very defining year. It should be for most of us. Last year, he was basically hurt and didn't play. Mm-hmm. Okay, the year before that, in 2021, he had 29 home runs. Sorry, 27 home runs, drove in 106. 2 years before that, in 2019 in Tampa Bay, 33 homers, 89 RBIs. I think people are looking at Meadows and just staying away. And I think there's a possibility we see a bounce back year from him this year.
I love your logic, Timmy. I really do. Makes total sense. What about Randall Grichek?
Hey, you want 25 homers, you want 75 RBIs. Yeah, Randall Grichek's a perfectly fine option.
Andrew Benintendi, does his offensive game take a step up from a power standpoint in the White Sox, or is this guy that's still going to hit single-digit home runs?
He is what he is. I'm not anticipating
a singles hitter.
I'm not anticipating a whole lot of change over what we saw last year.
Same is true with Alex Verdugo. Does he ever get to 20 home runs?
Yes, it'll take him 3 years, but he will get to 20.
So 3 years, he's okay. Fantastic. So
Andrew Benintendi, 5 home runs last year.
I know.
5 home runs.
I know.
Man, I don't. Can you imagine looking at making your big decision is deciding whether or not you want Andrew Benintendi or Alex Verdugo as your number two outfielder?
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah. If I can on Andrew Benintendi, he made the right decision, Timmy. He traded power for batting average, and it got him a big contract and set for life because his career was going nowhere. It's good for him because I think it made him a better baseball player. But from a fantasy standpoint, I'm with you, Timmy. If you decide to go shortstop, third base, second base, a bunch of pitchers, and all of a sudden you get both Alex Verdugo and Andrew Benintendi as your third and fourth outfielder, you're in trouble.
Well, yeah, and then you toss in a dash of, Jesse Winker.
Mm-hmm. Particularly the batting average league, yep.
Well, there's you're walking through a minefield.
Jorge Soler, Timmy, wasn't he hurt most of last year?
If he wasn't, he played like it.
Okay.
And again, we're looking at a player that has hit some big power numbers in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the past. How much is Miami going to suppress? He had that 48 home run season. Following that, he hit 8. He hit 13.
Yeah, I know.
He hit 14. He hit 13. Last year, in 270 at bat, he struck out 90 times.
He got enough to get that big contract, Timmy, and then he went back to being Jorge Soler. So,
and the Marlins are on the hook for $24 million over the next 2 years, which isn't huge money, but I just don't see Jorge Soler ever becoming the power hitter he once was, or relevant from a power perspective. In deeper leagues, sure, but again, you want him as your number three outfielder? Pass.
You know who I want as my number four outfielder? Lane Thomas.
Yeah, I got no problems with that.
Yeah.
I think the floor is solid, the ceiling's low.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't.
He is what he is. He's not a bad player though, and he's going to get a chance in Washington.
No. Yeah, he's not going to hurt you anywhere, is he?
Yep.
How many players, outfielders, can you say are not going to hurt you somewhere after 50? Not many.
There's some guys with upside. We're going to get to them in a minute. At 61, you got Lourdes Gurriel. 62, I don't know what. Tim definitely was smoking something here. Joey Gallo, he's got him at the 62nd position. He's going 93rd in the NFBC. And I will say that Joey Gallo was the worst baseball player, I think, last season. So Tim has to explain himself there. Jesse Winker at 63, Trey Mancini. Austin Hayes, I could not find in the NFBC. He might be only utility. I don't know why, unless it's misspelled, Timmy. I'm not sure why it didn't come. Anyway, Eddie Olivares, who I love. Esteury Ruiz, I like this year. Brandon Marsh, I think there's upside. Jarrett Kelenic next. Interesting. And Avisel Garcia. Timmy, what the heck are you thinking with Joey Gallo? Is this just a misprint?
I got a phone call from Joe Pesci.
Okay.
And he told me, unless I want to find myself, okay, in the trunk of his car, okay, move up Joey Gallo, and I did.
Okay.
And that's a reference to, of course, the movie with the Karate Kid in it.
The movie with the Karate Kid?
He was a lawyer.
Oh, that's, that was, with that Fred Quinn in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't remember.
What was the name of that movie? Oh yeah, where he was from New York. Yeah, and he was down there. Yeah.
That's what the reference was. But you know what, Joey Gallo still has the potential, as far as I'm concerned, to hit 30 plus home runs.
And he's going to hit 190, Tim.
OBP leagues. It's the only way to go.
All right. It's a pass for me.
I'll take him at 457.
Okay.
I think I'll take him where he is, because who would you rather have? Jesse Winker?
I'll take Jesse Winker over. Yes, I'll take Jesse Winker any day over Joe. I'll take most of these guys over Joe. I do not want Joey Gallo on my team with getting tons of at bats in Minnesota, 500 plus at bats and hitting 162. I don't want that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
I was reaching on the power. I took a look at that one myself and thought, what am I doing? So
that's okay. It's 167 names. It's okay to get one of them wrong, Tim. That's not a problem.
I'm sure there's at least two, Rich.
Yeah. Eddie Olivares, Tammy, you like him. I like him. Tell me why you like him.
Greyhounds on strike? No. I like Olivares because I think he's got a meaningful and a real chance to play every day. And I think the kid's got some skills. And if he does play every day, I like him as a fourth, fifth type outfielder in deeper leagues. I think he's got some skills.
I agree. Does Roster Resource have him playing full time?
Let me just take
a
look.
Or is Joey Gallo taking his at-bats away?
Yeah, Joey Gallo, yes. Kansas City, KCR, let's just see. No commercials, that's a good sign. I think I've used up my commercial allotment for the day on Roster Resource. Yes, they have him, as a matter of fact, hitting in the five spot.
Really? Like
playing
it.
Every day in right field.
Wow, good for him. Look, I think there's something there, and I think he just needs a shot. He needs to stay healthy. He was playing very well and then went down with an injury. Missed a good chunk of time last year. Yeah. And then came back and played well, so I think he deserves that chance. Esteury Ruiz, I've already given you my logic. I think Tim somewhat agrees, so no word about it. I think Brandon Marsh is a similar kind of player. There's speed and power there if he can hit enough.
Yeah. And again, I'm not too far off the mark with either of those players. I mean, it's the right year to get Ruiz. There's no doubt in my mind. And just have another outfielder available in the event that he doesn't hit.
Jarrett Kelenic, I think you would agree, he better produce this season.
Yeah, I totally agree with your train of thought. If he doesn't produce, he will be sent to AAA by the third week of April, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
Until 2024.
He might get traded, and that might be the right thing for Seattle just to say, look, we're done here. But yeah. We'll see, Timmy. I mean, he was the guy. I mean, along with Julio Rodriguez, I mean, everybody forgets they were 1-2-2-1 in that system for a couple of years. People expected greatness at Kelenic and greatness with Julio Rodriguez, and we see it with J-Rod, not so much with Kelenic.
No. Again, it's a very, very big year for the kid. And I hope he responds. I hope he owns the job and plays real well.
And then number 70, Timmy, always scrapes in here, your buddy Avisail Garcia.
Yeah, that ship hasn't avisailed yet. when you get down to this stage, Garcia has, you know, twice in the past 4 years produced 20-plus home run seasons. Prior to that, 19, 18, 12, I think what you got is 15 to 20 home runs. I think you could see a 240, 250 batting average. You might steal 5-6 bases and drive in possibly 70 runs. Is it a player that I am longing for? No, but we're down into 70. As a fifth outfielder?
Hold on, Tim. Do you really long for players? Don't you yes, long for a woman? You don't Shit. Long for players.
maybe I'm too much into the fantasy side of this game.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Shed I long for?
Should I? Should you long? Yeah.
Shed, yeah. Shed. But No. Avisail Garcia as a fifth, sixth outfielder. Yeah, I think he's okay.
Okay. Timmy, yeah. take another break, and then we're going to start to skip around and look at guys you really like and just start to – guys that we should get late in drafts. At number 71, Timmy, you have Adam Duvall. We'll start right there. You got him 36 higher than the NFBC. I did this from grab the list as of January 1st. I think Adam Duvall moving to Boston, he could do a lot worse.
Well, yeah. Well, I think the fact that I have him 36 slots higher is that you did it as of January 1st. He didn't sign until recently. Yeah, he's going to move up the draft boards because he's got a job in Boston now. He didn't have one heading into the year.
Jake Fraley, Timmy, you're still chasing the ghost.
I'm still sort of in there.
Yeah. Let's see. Michael Brantley, I think he could do better, Timmy. I mean, this is a guy that could be a fifth outfielder and not hurt you.
Yeah. When I look at that, I don't see as much help as I see not hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening with Ramon Laureano. That's another player. Yeah, you know, since 2019, when he had 24 homers and 67 RBIs, he hasn't done much. 6 homers, 14 homers, 13 homers. Last year, he had 13 homers, drove in 34, stole 11 bases in 17 attempts, and posted a 660.
Say that again. Stole 11 bases in how many attempts?
17.
Wow.
Got cut 6 times. 211 batting average, 287 OBP, 376 slug. And I am 23 slots worse. I just don't get Ramon Laureano at all.
I'm right there with you, Timmy. We saw a wonderful season and a half out of him, and I think that's the outlier right there. They should have moved him.
Mm-hmm. I downshifted on Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
Because of circumstance.
Yep. And coming in at 84, you like Kyle Stowers. I kind of do as well. I think if he hits, he's going to play. If he doesn't, there's going to be a relief corps coming in with Colton Cowher and those kind of guys. But I know the Orioles like this guy.
Well, and, you know, part of the reason that I have him where he is because I listen. And you said the Orioles like this kid. He's penciled in to own the DH slot. And we're down to 84.
Yeah.
With a player that's going to play every day to start the season. I'm okay with that. You know, it's, hey, find you, when you get into the bottom half of the outfielders, if you can, try and find a way to secure players that are going to play every day. And my everyday picks are all higher than the NFBC, aren't they?
I still maintain that Akil Badu set the tone for the awful season that the Detroit Tigers had last year. He did nothing but perform in 2021. Arguably was the best player on that team. Deserved a chance, Tim, to play full time. Starts the season as a platoon guy batting ninth, and he never, ever got going. I guess he got going at the end of the season when they finally started to play him. I think they figure out what they did wrong and put him out there. That's what I'm hoping, but it's hope
likewise
at this point, Tim.
Likewise. The Tigers were masters of their own destiny when it came to the way they treated Akil Badu, yep, in my opinion.
And I love A.J. Hinton. I think he's one of the smartest managers in baseball. I'd love to know what he was thinking, the reason he did not play him. And it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
So, yep.
But let's hope that he gets a chance. I still refuse to drop him. Dylan Moore, Timmy, do you really think he's going to get enough playing time to warrant a pick?
Even with his current situation, I think there's 20 stolen bases there. Mm-hmm. As a late pick, just for speed, I think it's an okay pick for your bench. I moved him up and bumped him up because of Jared Kelenic.
About Jared Kelenic?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because I think if Kelenic doesn't get it done and is moved to AAA, I think Dylan Moore could become a full-time bat, at mm-hmm. which point in time his value escalates a little bit. So the reason I'm higher is because there is risk, I think, with Jared Kelenic. Again, I think that risk is alleviated by having Dylan Moore handy.
Number 95 is Trent Grisham. Remember when he was really good, Tim? That wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, I was really high on that kid when he went from Milwaukee to San Diego. And
he played well, though.
Yeah, he did.
It looked like he was going to break out, and then last year the wheels came off.
Yeah, totally, and I'm not ready to put the wheels back on yet.
I think that's smart. Sal Frelick, Tim, I think we've talked about him at nauseam.
That's a statement pick by me. If you'll notice further down the list, you will find Garrett Mitchell, and I'm 40 slots lower on Garrett Mitchell. I think Frelick takes the job, and my rankings reflect it.
Yeah, I agree. Victor Robles is still chasing the ghost of Victor Robles. Timmy, I don't know. He's a fourth outfielder at this point, but maybe he gets more full-time at-bats at Washington. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah. Michael A. Taylor, I'm 42 slots higher. He's got to get playing time in Minnesota with Buxton in the outfield, right? And the rest of the walking wounded there. That's why I'm significantly higher.
So let's just bounce around here, Tim. Give me a couple of guys that you think are interesting down here in the hundreds, that maybe a young kid. There's obviously James Altman. We talked about him at nauseam, but is there two or three other guys that really tickle your fancy down here?
Well, Aaron Hicks has got a full-time job, doesn't he? And his current ADP is 700.
He's had a full-time job last year, didn't play well, though, and didn't play much either. So,
yeah, but, for where he's going to tuck him into your reserve, I don't have any problems at all with that. When I look at Pittsburgh right now, Juwan Bey is sitting at 600. He could end up with a full-time job in Pittsburgh.
Some people really like him. I've never been that enamored with him, but okay.
Yeah, but moving further down the list, I'm starting at 144.
Yes.
Dustin Harris. I have no problems with Dustin Harris as a reserve pick. I have no problems at all with Pedro Leon as a reserve pick. Mm-hmm. And you move into Dodger land, and if the other 14 outfielders fail, well, there's Pache?
Yeah, Pache, Andy Pache, Pache. Yep.
Yeah. They're all being drafted in the 700s. I'll throw a dart at least Harris and Leon.
And then you've got the two really underachievers in Jarrett Duran, who just looks like he might be the forgotten guy in Boston, and Joe Adell. That might have been like what could have been with maybe a little bit slower development process. He just never got a chance, Tim. I don't know. Well, he needs a new change of scenery big time.
He does. Who do you want next year, Rich? Joe Adell or the player who's sitting one spot below him, George Valera?
Oh, I think George Valera. I mean, at this point, Joe Adell is a lottery pick, and it's probably not a very good lot. He needs to go to a new organization. Somebody needs to spend considerable time with him, helping him rework his swing, helping him try to figure out a better plan at the plate. He's just overwhelmed at the plate. So, I mean, the Dodgers would be a really good organization for him to go into.
Yeah.
Houston. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody that can really spend some time to get the Orioles would be a perfect landing spot for him. But I'm afraid the next landing spot is going to be Japan.
And it could very well be that. But, you know, you start looking at some of the players, like the NFBC is 30 slots higher on Joe Adell. Is that just name recognition?
I mean, he's just undraftable at this juncture, Tim. Yeah, draft and hold, of course. But in a regular, he's completely undraftable.
Well, yeah, and you go a little bit further down the list. Josh Lowe, I'm 36 slots worse than the NFBC. Is Josh Lowe a player that's going to get an opportunity in Tampa Bay?
It sure doesn't seem like it. That's another guy I don't understand. I don't understand him. I understand Joe Adell. I mean, this is a guy that wasn't very experienced in baseball. Mm-hmm. They pushed him really hard. Josh Lowe looked like he was ready, looked like it was all going to happen, and he was terrible.
Yeah, Josh Lowe 2 years ago is what Dustin Harris is today. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. I mean, he maybe even performed even better. I don't know what happened to him, Tim. I didn't watch him. I didn't watch him as a major leaguer. I wish I did. I just didn't get a chance to see him.
Yeah, and, you know, basically the players that I am significantly higher than the NFBC are players that I think are going to play.
Right.
And only time will tell on those picks.
Okay, Timmy, let's take another break, get back, and let's start pounding out the hard questions. Oh, geez, we're at 40, we're almost 50 minutes, Tim. It's hard for our significant others to understand why these podcasts are so long. I mean,
I got a message from Jody earlier on this afternoon. She said to me, "I'm stuck at work for an extra hour. Is that okay?" Timmy smiled.
And you're saying, "I'm stuck at work for an extra 2 hours."
So. No, it's perfectly fine. You don't need to apologize. It's hard.
It's hard.
It takes a lot of time.
I mean, we could get through in an hour, Timmy, and not do disservice to our listeners and not going to get anything out of it. But, I mean, we're talking 160 outfielders, and even if there's fluff in there, it's 125? I mean, there's a lot of guys to talk about.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys. And starting pitching, I think, might be broken into three sections.
It could be. All right, Timmy, so we've broken it down. Okay, which top 15, not top 10, which top 15 outfielder not in the top 15 has a chance to emerge there next season?
Corbin Carroll. He's at 16. That's
McLeod, come on.
Okay, here we go. I'm not going to give you Suzuki because I don't want to hear 0.0 if I listen back. I'm going to go with Jake McCarthy.
Wow, that's a great name, Timmy. That's an awesome pick right there. Love it.
Power speed could drive him up the boards pretty quickly.
I think that's a great name, and I love it. I think Corbin Carroll has a chance to move up into the top 10. I mean, I totally agree with you there. It's just a little. So let's see. What about some other guys? Give me another name or two. Is Riley Green a name that could jump up that far?
I don't think he can jump up that far in 1 year after what happened last year. But I think he can move up considerably. Definitely. And you know what? You want to go with the total wild card. Here we go, Rich, and this is all about you, this pick. Estuary Ruiz. Yeah, if he steals 50, 60 bases, he's a top 15 outfielder.
Yep. I think one of the names that's not on here because he's not eligible yet is Jordan Walker. I think if we see Jordan Walker in the second half, let's call it, I don't know, August 15th. Let's just say he just gets a September call-up and goes all Corbin Carroll on you. He could be sitting at 16 next season.
Well, yeah, and there's another obvious pick as well, and that's Bryce Harper. He's not on the list. He doesn't qualify.
That's true.
Yeah, so there's another one. But no, Jordan Walker, if he gets called up, I'll say that'd be beginning of July, okay, around the All-Star break. If he gets called up, hits the ground running, and has a great 2-3 months, yeah, I could see based on that great 2-3 months, his pedigree, he could be a top 20 pick next year. It's entirely possible.
Looking at the top 100, the problem is that Jordan Walker, Volpe's shortstop, I can't see us seeing Jackson Churio. Drew Jones, that's not going to happen. George Villara, I don't know if he has enough juice to jump up. Robert Hassel, Dominguez, James Wood, they're all, a lot of the outfielders in the minor leagues, Timmy, are really young.
Yeah, they are, and Dustin Harris could take a big step upwards.
Yeah, I can't see him moving 15, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Not that high, but Pedro Leon could jump into the top 50. Unfortunately, George Valera is going to miss some time. I think I downgrade him because of that. He's got that fractured hamate bone.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to fix. Easy to fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got so much confidence, Timmy, he'll just blow that off.
Yeah.
What hamate bone.
I would love to see Pedro Leon get a chance over Chaz McCormick at some point.
I think it could happen. I agree. It's an exciting player. I just hate the approach, and I don't want to bore our listeners anymore with that. Okay, Timmy, I think I know the answer to this, but what outfielder drops out to that McCarthy or Corbin Carroll replaces? Give me the guy, and I want two guys that drop out of that top 15.
Oh.
Come on, Tim. You know one of them, the easy answer there.
Well, the easy answer is Michael Harris.
Yes, that is correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, that's the easy answer, and I'm going to go with Luis Robert.
You know,
if he doesn't start fulfilling that sky-high potential this year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, hey, you're looking at a player this year that's going in the fourth round. I could very easily see him, if he doesn't have a good year, drop down into the sixth, seventh round.
I 100% agree with you. I would say Fernando Tatis Jr., I don't believe he's going to drop that far. I think it'll be disappointing, but the people are still going to remember what he's capable of, even if 23 is a transitional year, him getting back into playing shape and getting back into game speed. But I think the upside is still there. I love those two picks, Timmy, in terms of guys that might fall out.
Yeah, I think the rest of the players there now are relatively safe. I think there's a history there. We don't have much of a history with Harris and Robert right now. A lot of pedigree, but no history, right?
Let's do something, Timmy. Let's go to Prospect 361. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the archives, shall we?
Ooh,
this can get a little dicey here.
Yes.
I got to move this out of the way.
It's not a good note to self. It's not a good time to ask for a raise right about now, Tim.
No, I think it'll be interesting to take a look at the outfielders, how you had them rank last season. Yeah. Because more guys probably dropped out than you thought. So Fernando Tatis Jr. was the number one outfielder off the board. Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna, Bryce Harper, Kyle Tucker, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Luis Robert, Starling Marte, Yordan Alvarez. So all of those guys, except for Harper, who's obviously hurt, are still in the mix for really, really good players.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's all you have to do is look at my rankings versus the NFBC, and basically they're bang on.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple difference in Rodriguez versus, you know, Tucker and Judge, but there's not a whole lot of difference right through the top 20 for the most part.
And then you finish up your 15, Cedric Mullins, Eloy Jimenez, Aaron Judge, Teoscar Hernandez, Whit Merrifield, and then Andy Rosarena, George. So it hasn't changed a ton from last season.
No, it hasn't. Where I think you'd see a huge amount of change is when you start looking from, 20 to 35, and then from 35 to 70, big changes.
Yeah, you were high on Joey Gallo last season. Maybe that's what, you had him at 33.
Yeah, heading into New York, everybody had him. Everybody had Joey Gallo, predicted for what, 40 home runs?
I was right there with you, Tim. There's the awful one, Akil Baddoo. That's my fault. I think I put bad thoughts in your head about him. So I blame myself on that one. So, all right, Timmy.
I'm in a no-win situation there because if I don't listen, I catch it. And if I do listen,
that's absolutely, Timmy. That's the way it is. That's absolutely true. No, I feel bad that I led you astray there. Anyway, give me a couple sleepers.
Players that I think can significantly, if Riley Green's going awful late.
I
think Riley Green is a player. Brian De La Cruz in Miami.
Really? That's interesting.
Well, I think he's got the job. I think they've soured on Jesus Sanchez, and I think Brian De La Cruz is going to get an opportunity in Miami. With opportunity, kid can hit the ball a fair ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sleepers, Edward Olivares.
He was one of mine, yep.
And again, can't argue with Ruiz and the
He's
upside.
He's one of mine,
potential.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Moving down a little further, right now, Jurickson Profar is going off the board in the NFBC in the 30th round. Now, he hasn't signed. But depending on where he signs, Jurickson Profar could be a nice little player, as a fifth outfielder or a reserve pick. So, there's some potential there. And Kyle Stowers is one of my guys this year. So
yeah.
I got to go with – and Oscar Colas as well. I think if Colas wins a job breaking camp, he could do some – he could have himself a real good year. And, of course, my – man crush on Sal Frelick knows no bounds.
He is one of the guys I highlighted as a sleeper. I've got two others if you want to hear them.
Yeah, sure.
Dustin Harris, yep. For sure. Is
yeah,
one
okay,
of them.
Yeah.
I think later in the year. But here's a guy, Timmy, that you skipped over. And no disrespect to Jordan Walker. Mm-hmm. I think Lars Nootbaar is better than people think. I really fell in love with him at the Arizona Fall League in 2021.
Right.
I think he's got skills. I think there's a little bit of speed, a little bit of power. I think there's a little bit more power. I think he can hit. He plays with his hair on fire, so there's a big want there.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Walker, they're not gonna keep him down if he's ready to come up. But I think Lars Nootbaar will return value as a fourth outfielder.
I agree. The outfielder I am most concerned with in St. Louis is Dylan Carlson.
Yeah, fair point. He's a good defender, so.
That's the guy that concerns me.
Yeah. Yep. Well, for good reason, Timmy. He has not played well, so.
They're going to make room for Jordan Walker when they deem him to be ready. Somebody ain't going to make the cut, are they?
That is correct. Okay, Timmy, give me a guy or two that you're just not going to draft.
Lewis Robert.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, I just don't want to make that investment. Starling Marte, he's had a great career, but I think we're on the downside. I don't have enough hair left to pull out owning Byron Buxton.
I know.
That's just not. I should have mentioned MJ Melendez. I like Melendez a lot. Looking at
but you're
going to
play him at catcher, right?
Yes, you're going to play him at catcher. But if you happen to have one of those elite catchers that gets called up, the fact that he can play outfield won't hurt you, will it?
Fair. That's fair.
It's. I'm not.
I just don't know how much he's going to hit. I'm not convinced he's. How much he'll hit. We'll see. That's a promising kid. I like the Royals. I was listening to something. I forgot, but they were just trashing the Royals and just saying they're terrible. I disagree. I like what they're doing with their team. They're giving their young guys a chance to play. The pitching
team to watch.
The pitching is not very good. Yeah, but I mean, any team that's got Bobby Witt Jr. on it, throwing MJ Melendez and Pasquantino and Eddie Olivares, I mean, those are guys that can play. The pitching's no good. I get it, but
I'll buy a ticket to see the Royals play.
I agree.
A lot of teams I won't.
Yep. And I refuse to believe Daniel Lynch with 3+ pitches is this bad. So, yeah. And I know they've gotten a new pitching regime for Kansas City. So I think there's potentially some hope there. But offensively, I think that team's going to perform better than people think.
I think so as well. And like I said, they're an exciting team, a team that I'll spend some money to watch play live.
For sure. So those are good guys to avoid. I'm kind of right there with you. Anybody else?
Anybody on Pittsburgh is not high on my list. Oakland's the same way. Oakland has got to have the worst team in baseball, bar none. I think there will be at least 5 AAA teams that could beat them, maybe more.
They're putting out a AAA team. So
They are.
But that doesn't mean that some Oakland Athletics guys are going to get playing time, and that's all you care about sometimes in fantasy baseball. So
yeah, Mr. Brown could hit you 25 home runs and drive in 75, 80, and steal 10 bases. That works.
I am not going to draft Fernando Tatis Jr. I hope he has a great season. I hope he's the number one outfielder in the game. I'm just going to reduce my risk and leave him on the draft table for somebody else.
Yeah, here's another name that, you know, when I scan through the list. Right now in the NFBC, this player is sitting at 67. I have him at 100. And that's Charlie Blackmon. I won't own Charlie Blackmon this year. If I own Charlie Blackmon, it's because I'm dealing with a slew of injuries or I had a really poor draft.
Somebody offered me Charlie Blackmon in a dynasty league, I'm going to say for like a really good young player. And I was dumbfounded. Like, first, I wanted to ask, is Charlie Blackmon still playing baseball? Did he retire? I mean, like, really? Let's see if I can find who the guy offered me for. You would be like, you got to get out of this league, Rich. This is crazy.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, last year, Blackmon had a good year. He had 16 home runs, drove in 78, .264 batting average, which is not bad. But prior to that, 13 home runs, 6 home runs. Charlie Blackmon's career has been in decline since 2019. And heading into this year, he's heading into his age 37 season. I don't think it's going to get any better. I'm not going to pay for the 16 home runs and 78 RBIs last year.
The trade was Charlie Blackmon for Jose Miranda. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
You didn't make that deal?
No, I didn't make that deal. So,
okay.
And he wanted to swap draft picks, but it's like I saw Charlie Blackmon. I just thought that was crazy. I mean, it's like I don't know how many more years he's going to play, but this is not Charlie Blackmon of circa 2014. Timmy, that is it, my friend. Let's take our final break, find out what we're having for dinner, and just wrap this puppy up.
Sounds good.
I think they moved into the pregame on the football game, Tim.
Oh, we've moved one pre ahead of where we were an hour ago.
That's right. That is right. Timmy, amazing job. Amazing podcast. Just great stuff. I had a blast. I hope you did as well. We covered tons of players.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Once you get into the outfield and starting pitching, you're looking at a lot of names to sort through. But I know personally from a draft prep perspective, it does nothing but help me in a big way. And again, I hope my thought process and my rankings aid you immensely when you start looking at putting together your own lists for your drafts. It was a lot of fun.
What's happening for you this week? Got any drafts, any mock drafts, any stuff going on?
Well, I think we're getting into first-year player drafts in some of your leagues.
First-year player drafts start on the 15th, Timmy. I think that's Wednesday.
Yes, smart move pushing them back a day.
Yeah, it's always that week of Valentine's Day, but I made it on the 15th, yeah. And I know you have a mock draft on the 16th. I begged off just because I've got some other stuff going on, but so I know you've got that as well.
Yeah, I got the mock draft on the 16th, which will be great prep for labor, which is the following Tuesday. Coming up quick. We're looking at the 21st, and I've snagged the number two spot, so I'm going to sit back and wait to see who Fred Zinke takes at number one, and I'll swoop in at number two. I ended up with a great spot, but I've sort of got a tough crowd surrounding me with Fred Zinke at number one and Steve Gardner at number three. I'm going to have my hands full there.
These names are just names to me. I have no idea who Zinke is at all. So
combined, they've probably won about 15 tote and labor titles.
Okay,
so
great.
Good players.
Have they run a Rich Wilson Dynasty League? No.
No.
So doesn't make the so unless they play in Rich Wilson Dynasty Leagues, I don't know if the player's any good or not.
Well, yeah.
Our Dynasty League chews up players. Dynasty Leagues chew up players, Tim.
Yes,
so
counts, right?
That's right, exactly. So, well, good luck. Well, we'll talk about that. I can't wait to follow your labor draft in all seriousness. So,
yeah, I'm going to set it up on Facebook again. I'll set up a thread and try and hang out there as much as I can. And drafting in the two spot gives me a pretty good opportunity because I always build my queue 70 players deep. You know, pulling out all of my late round gambles and stashing them all to have them at the ready, and being picking at either corner works out great, much as our podcast Guardian mock. It gives you lots of time in between to wander.
Gladiator
Guardian.
Or Indian. Your choice.
Yeah, something like that. Cleveland draft. Okay.
Cleveland draft. All right, Tim, let's find out what's for dinner. Let's get the hell out of here. We're exhausted.
Yeah, I think it's getting to that time. The phrase lunch drunk is about to be uttered. Well, I think I mentioned a while back that our local Legion made a meat pie.
Oh, yeah. You remember? Yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah, well, I ate all three of them, and they were absolutely wonderful. But my next-door neighbor, in an attempt to escape winter, is spending it, they're spending it in B.C., and as a favor to them, I'm picking up their mail and making sure that the water, you know, everything is fine, and, you know, there's no problems watching their house. So as a present to me, they gave me three meat pies.
Wow. So it's meat pie tonight, huh?
It's meat pie night tonight.
Is it the same from the same organization made those meat pies or different ones?
Yeah, it's the same organization. She, the lady that lives next door, she's an executive on the on the Legion. So she always has some in her house, and she put three away for me to thank me, and I thanked her. And tonight I'm going to enjoy another one of them.
That's awesome.
Good people, and it's a small town, Rich, and good neighbors, so, you know, they pick up my mail when I'm traveling and watch the place, and hey.
Yeah, but we have the same feeling on the beach. It's a small town, people look out after you, and people pick up our mail and things like that. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, it's probably something that, you know, people in larger cities would never want to, or, you know, quite often wouldn't experience, but... Yeah, small towns do have their charms, don't they?
For sure. We're eating out all weekend, Tim, and we're up here in our New Jersey home and didn't buy any food, so we've had had lunch out, a beautiful lunch. It was a brunch, and had tacos. I think tonight we're going to go and eat bad Super Bowl food at one of the bars. I think I mentioned that. And come back and probably have fruit to balance everything out. So
when are you heading back?
Tomorrow, 2 o'clock flight. So,
A.M. or P.M.
Yeah, P.M. Yeah, P.M. Car picks us up at 11:30. A car service failed us last night. They were parked outside my son's place, and the car wouldn't start. And it was like what? What's going on? So we had to grab an Uber. $200 later, we were back at home. $200, Tim, of an Uber. It was expensive.
It's almost worth your while to rent one.
It was very, very expensive. So that was disappointing. but that's how far away. I mean, Brooklyn's not that far, but it took over 2 hours to get home. So
that's a hefty drive.
And they don't live far, Timmy. It's just miserable. And Matt and Jillian, his wife, they bought a new house in Jersey, about 15 minutes from our place. So we're thrilled. So,
yeah, I was gonna say, between sitting in a car Ubering and leaving early for the airport, you could have almost driven back in that same amount of time.
it's insane. You know, I was gonna rent a car, and the car rental was expensive for the weekend, so it was actually cheaper. Take a car service out. Yeah, the car rental was really, really expensive. It's probably because of the Super Bowl and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
Because we're next to Philadelphia, so probably people coming in for parties and things like that. I don't know, making it up. But yeah.
Getting a hotel downtown would probably cost you a few bucks.
Yeah, so we stayed here and everything worked out. It was a great day yesterday, and besides the long travel back, it worked out okay. Timmy,
And you spoiled Jack the way grandparents.
Yeah, everybody. Right? He got tons of gifts, but lots of clothes. Good. So he did no idea what he had. No idea what was happening, but it was fun for us. So. Okay, my friend.
Grandparenting is fun.
I will see you in the draft room on Wednesday, Tim, and good luck to all of our Dynasty League participants, and we'll do that this week. And Tim and I will be back next Sunday. We're taking a week off from the previews, give Tim another week to do the starting pitchers. And I don't know, Timmy, we'll figure something to do.
Yeah, no, sounds good. Safe travels tomorrow, and we'll catch you in the draft room.